Welcome back to Messy in the Middle. With me this week, I have Jessica Dorneyden. Jessica is a tech implementer, systems nerd, and business BFF who helps entrepreneurs stuck in the messy middle of growing their business by solving their tech and systems challenges so they can stop putting out dumpster fires and focus on bringing their ideas to life. Jess, welcome to the show.
Yay, thank you.
Do you prefer Jess or Jessica?
Usually Jess, unless I'm doing things I'm not supposed to be doing. So if I'm clicking my pen annoyingly, it's Jessica.
Sounds good. From now on, it's just Jess.
Yeah.
So Jess and I have never met before. She pitched me to be on the show. And so when I ask this question, I really do mean it because I don't know the answer. Tell me your story. What did you want to be when you were younger? And how did that evolve into what you do today? Because something tells me it wasn't like the plan.
What plan? What are we even talking about? Okay, this is really interesting. I'm fascinated when people say, I always wanted to be this when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. Like, I think it usually involved talking a lot. I used to, have, a pretend radio show, with my best friend. Or we used to rewrite our own version of Harry Potter so we thought we'd all be famous authors. And then a few weeks later, I'd be, drawing out, a whole restaurant menu and serving all my, invisible guests in the garden with my fancy dishes I'm making. And I have never had a thing that I really wanted to be. And I still don't have a thing that I really want to work towards or whatever. And then I finished school back in Germany and I was like, I need to get out. I was in a little village. I'd always been there for the longest time. And I felt like I just needed to see something different. So where can I go? Where do I go? Where can I also learn to speak English? I was fluent in English, but I wanted to get better, no thinking fluid. And then I was like, oh, wow, London, that's great. That's bigger than my little... Welcome to Albania, where people, when they forget their key, ring every doorbell in the building to annoy you so that someone goes and opens the door. This is a joke. So welcome to Albania, which is where I live now, but different story. So I basically, I was like, I need to go somewhere bigger. And London, 1,000 people village to 7 million people, that seems bigger, right? So I went there, never been there before, I didn't know anyone. And then I worked one job after the next, after the next, after the next. I quit after a week and a half on each and every single one of them because I got so annoyed about something in every single job. I don't know, maybe it's the whole special brain situation where you're like, oh, you are, not being very nice to people. I don't want to work for you anymore. And that was kind of the thing. And at the end, I ended up in childcare, which I never thought I would. But I worked a lot with special education children. I was the senko, eventually became the manager. And then it just, you just realize that you're going to be working a low paid job for life if you stay doing that. I could just afford to pay my rent, put food on the table, buy the travel card to go take the train to work, and that was it, There was no holidays, there was no savings, there was no nothing, and I didn't want to do that. And then I was like, there's got to be something better there. And then one night, I doom scroll on the internet, as you do. I accidentally click on a Facebook ad with my little sausage fingers, and I land on a sales page for an online business membership. I'd never heard of online business, didn't know who the person was, no idea why this ad targeted me, but I looked at it and I was like, there's such a thing as an online business? I think I got to check that out. And then I looked it up a bit. And then I was like, hey, you know what? If you want to do something new, you should learn from people that are already doing that thing, right? And then maybe you like it. Maybe you figure out what you can do. So I joined that. And then I kept helping people with their tech questions. So they were like, on my website, this thing is doing something really weird. I don't know how to stop it from doing that. And I'm like, oh, I know how to do that. Our nursery website used to do that all the time. You have to go here, turn that off, and then it will work. And then the coach was like, by the way, you keep saying you have no idea what you could be doing on the internet, but do you realize people would pay you to fix this? And I'm like, actually, what? No. And that's how it started. So there was literally there was no plan. There was no, I've researched this. This is just, I fell straight face first into it. I knew what I didn't want to do anymore. And this thing just kind of found me, I guess. And I've been doing it now like full time for 7 years. So it's you know, been a ride and a half at this point.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's awesome. And I feel like I relate to a lot of that. Like, even as far as like moving from, you know, I'm from a small town around 1,000 people to then when I graduated college, I was like, I'm going to move to Philadelphia, which is like big city. Didn't know anyone, like found my roommates on Facebook, that whole thing. And it was, yeah, just kind of like cobbling together odd jobs, working at a nonprofit, doing a little bit of this, doing a little bit of that, and realizing like, I like working. I like the work that I do, but I don't like having to answer to someone who like hired me for something they don't know how to do, but then has a lot of opinions about how it should be done. And so I kind of stumbled into the online business world in that way, but it was almost like from a backwards approach because it was in the age of like everything you ever found on Pinterest was like how to make money online by blogging. And I was like, well, I don't want to do that. Like, but I want to make money online and you have to do all these other things to like make a blog work. So I'll just like do those things for people. And then it like turned into a business, but very much the same roots of kind of like, I don't like where I am, but I got to do something about it. Cause I can't just like wish the change into the world.
No, and sometimes you just have to put your foot out and just see what happens. Like, I was like, what's going to happen? Like, this is 37, it was £37 a month at that point. I'm like, I don't have a lot of money spare. Like, you know, very little. £37 a month means that there's one event that I was meaning to go to that ain't going to happen because I got to pay this. And I don't, like, when you work in childcare, you don't get paid for overtime. Overtime is, like, expected, you know.
Right.
Parents don't come and collect the kids. Great, you're staying until three more kids have gone home. And if that is another hour and a half, then bless you, you're here for another hour and a half. And people will give you the time back on like another day, but that day freaking never comes. Like, I can tell you that. Like, you'll be waiting for like 6 months to get your 50 hours back, you know. It just doesn't happen.
That was the tipping point for me actually at my last, or my second to last like job before I was like, F this, like I'm done, was I was supposed to only be working part-time, but it was like a salaried part-time, which like now that I know a little more about like compliance and stuff, I'm like, they weren't able to do what they did. And it was like, I was supposed to be working 15 hours a week and I worked like 3 30-hour weeks in a row, which like, okay, 30 hours a week, whatever. But it was like, I was doing something else to make money the rest of the time. And then after that, like busy scene was over, I was like, oh, like I have this like trip out of town planned. Like I won't be here like one day these next 2 weeks. And they're like, okay, cool. How are you going to make up the time?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I wasn't Sorry. Planning on it. Like not even close to planning on making up that time. But yeah, that was kind of like one of those final straw moments that I remember looking back on. But when you did decide to make that transition, like, okay, I'm going to get into online business. I'm going to start helping people with tech. You said like you knew you wanted to do it before you knew what you were going to do. How did that process go from, you know, working in childcare and working on your business to like figure out what you wanted to do to then making your business your full-time thing? Like, what was the process of like, did you have like a recurring revenue metric that you wanted to hit? Did you just need to have enough savings and then say like, F it, let's go? What was that process like for you?
I wouldn't recommend it. But what I mean, of course you can start on top of your job. Depending on whatever your circumstances are, it might not be easy. Like realistically, I was working a lot of overtime at that point, because, you know, I was managing the setting. So every day after work, somebody wants to come and complain about the fact that there was no venison on the menu this week. And like, you have to have discussions like that. And they don't care that you're supposed to be finished with work because I want to speak to the manager. So here I am. So it was hard, but I didn't have, you know, kids at that point. I was, other than not knowing that my brain's a bit special, which I only figured out like way after that, but I was physically well. I didn't have any other challenges at that point in time. I just had work. And then I have a now ex-partner that I had at that time. And that was it. I didn't have any other commitments. But I would wake up at 6. I never compromised on sleep, and I don't compromise on sleep now because I become an emotional mess as soon as I miss just a little bit of sleep. I'll start crying over nothing. I'll see a sad ad on TV and I'm like, oh my God, this is so sad. Like, I would not be functioning in any which way.
I'm like that even with a full amount of sleep.
I can be, but I am way more like settled now in a lot of ways better than I used to be anyways. So yeah, I would get up at 6. I would, if I had a late shift at daycare, so I don't start till 9, I would literally pour the coffee, sit down with my laptop and get in what I can get in before I have to leave for work. I lived quite close to work, so that helped a lot. And then I would do my time at daycare and I would start restricting my hours to what I actually got paid for as much as possible. So then as soon as my lunch break hits, I am in the car with my laptop and my lunch. And then I would go back into daycare, do my next block. And then as soon as I can get out, home, quick dinner, and then immediately back on the laptop until 10 or 11. And obviously I had to leverage weekends as much as possible because we weren't open on weekends. So that was the only time where I could put in another 2 full days. My aim was just to make enough money to replace my salary. I had 0 additional savings. I didn't wait for that moment. I was just like, right, I am just before I'm about to level out. So if I was to quit now and push at the same rate that I've been pushing before, but now be full time in it, as opposed to doing 3 hours, 4 hours a day, mornings and evenings at like not the best times. If I just gave it a push, I think I could make it. So it was extremely tight. I had no backup plan. I had nothing. It was like the place I was working in wasn't even nice. And I knew I could always just go and apply for another job in another daycare. There's plenty of them. I am well qualified. I have a lot of experience. I will just get another job. Like, if it doesn't work, I will just go out and within 2 weeks, I can probably get myself another job and then try again. But I didn't have any backups.
Right.
And I wouldn't necessarily recommend doing that unless you can. If you need the fire, go for it. But if you cannot do that, it might be the better option.
Yeah, that's something I think about a lot is like, I started my business while trying to like have a job straight out of college. And I talk about this a lot. Like, I had a degree in sociology, so like people weren't exactly pounding down my door to like pay me 6 figures. And so it was just like this cobbling together of a bunch of part-time jobs. So then when it came time to like going full-time in my business, it wasn't like I have to drop everything and do this full-time. It was like, okay, like what's the lowest paying job? $500 a month. What can I do to make $500 a month? Okay, next lowest, $1,000 a month. What can I do to make $1,000 a month? And like kind of piecemeal it that way. And because I was never making a lot of money, the decision to then go full time in my business, like the threshold to do that was a lot lower. And I think that sometimes I feel really lucky that I decided I was ready to go all in on my business when I did, because I think it would have been a lot more difficult to make that decision and find that comfort and even just like have the time to build up enough revenue to replace like a job that was actually paying a living wage.
Yeah, I mean, I think I needed at that point, I mean, lucky I wasn't living by myself. To be honest, I could have lived in London in a house share like everybody else by myself and had the same situation. So I think I was only aiming for like £3,000 a month, which maybe, what is it now, like $4,000 or something.
Right.
Like that was all I was aiming for pre-tax. And to be honest, I was just signing people up on retainer. I was like, I'm going to do tech virtual assistants. I'm going to get as many of these people on retainer as possible. And then I'll figure it out. And I had to actually get someone to help me like halfway through that time period, because obviously I needed to do marketing and I needed to get on sales calls, which I had to do at nighttime, which went fine with US hours because, you know, I wouldn't be working. So, you know,
yeah,
time difference in my favor. But I needed to then deliver the work. So I also took on someone else to come and work with me that had never done any of this before. And I got really lucky that literally I found Yelena, and Yelena was like my freaking awesomest helper for like the longest time, because she just figured it out. I was like, hey, here's this. This is what I want to happen. It needs to be done by Tuesday. Can you set this up, please, so I can just go check it? And she's like, yep, I'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like an absolute savior. And these kind of people are very rare. You know, usually I found that most people add more work to your plate than they take off. And for her, that really wasn't the case. But I did need help to deliver all the hours that I'd been selling on a way underpriced retainer, because, mm-hmm. you know, we just don't know about how much time goes into admin, how much time goes into marketing, how much time goes into sales, how much time that you do not get paid for that you have to cover by the money that you're earning. And I didn't understand any of this. I'd never run a business before. So what would I know? So I was like, yeah, I'll do VA work for you for £25 an hour. And then they'd send me 60 emails a week that I need replying to. And I just have a little question here. I did not think that through, and that really wasn't solid, which I learned, you know, a few months later when I realized that I'm working an awful lot and there isn't an awful lot of money coming in return. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, where is this going? Like, something is off, you know?
Right. So,
learning curve. But yeah, I wasn't shooting for so much that it was impossible, or that I'd be committed. You know, I wasn't getting people to pay me like 10,000 to deliver me this specific result. Like, it wasn't that kind of thing. It was like, hey, you're buying X hours of my time for the next month.
Mm-hmm.
I can one way or another make these hours appear, even if I did have to spend one Friday night up late and one Saturday night up late.
Right. Yeah. Do you feel like, I feel like a lot of the advice, like in the online business world and just the business world in general, is like, charge for packages, don't charge hourly. But then you have this kind of like nebulous nature of something like virtual assistant work, where charging on a package rate just doesn't make sense. And I know that I spent a lot of time charging hourly, and then I moved to packages, and then I've moved like back to hourly as I'm working on more of an agency model for that original time that I spent working hourly, because it helped me understand like my process and how long things take and all of that. So how do you feel about like the time that you spent working hourly, like even though it was kind of not the most profitable in the moment, but like, do you look back and like kind of regret it, or do you feel like it's helped shape how you run your business today?
I don't regret it. I think when you're starting out, particularly if you're going into something you haven't really done before, how the heck are you supposed to price a package? And the only thing that's going to happen is that you're going to way undersell your butt. You know, you're way going to undercharge, because you have no concept. And I see this time and time again. There's a Facebook group that I'm in, which is for people that work in marketing, but they're not business owners. And then someone, you know, just posted the other day, oh yeah, but you know, this lady said to me that her daughter works online doing something with AI of an unknown, you know, type, and she's getting like 150K a year as a freelancer, but I know she's, you know, BSing me because this is not possible. And I'm like, what? But it just doesn't seem realistic. And I know that I would have thought the same thing, because that's what I would have thought when you've never dealt with people that can set their own prices or do whatever the heck they want. And I've tried that, and I would just be like, yeah, I'll do this for you for like 300. And then I would work like double the amount of hours that I would have worked, or that I would have expected to work. And I'm way undercharging. And if I'd done that on an hourly basis, I would have been paid double the amount of money, because it took twice as long as I thought it would. So when you're starting out, how are you supposed to know how long anything takes? So I don't think there's anything wrong with hourly based work, particularly at the beginning, while you're figuring out what do you like to do, how long does this take, blah, blah. And you're going to be slower, you know, because it's new to you. So if this is something you haven't done professionally for years and years on end, charge hourly. But then there comes a time where hourly-based retainers don't work anymore. And I actually you know, if anyone is listening to this close around the time where, you know, we've recorded this, then I just wrote some lengthier posts, and I still have three more to come, on my Facebook profile about why hourly-based retainers don't work in the long run for clients or service providers, because there are so many issues that I've run into time and time again. But I don't think packages are the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, I mean, maybe they are the answer for person A, but for person F over here, they're a disaster. So I think we have to be more nuanced about how we look at our service delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to sell you a 10K package.
Right, yeah.
I don't want to sell my life to you for the delivery time of this project. And then your copywriter doesn't finish that thing. So now the project is pushed out by 2 weeks because your copywriter didn't finish it. And now I have to either charge you a fee or threaten you in some way. Plus I have another project that I got paid $10,000 for that is now 2 weeks after that. And now we have a problem because now I'm supposed to be focused, laser focused, results focused on two things at the same time. And that wasn't my fault. I didn't plan it that way. But life doesn't go that way. You know, it's like writing a birth plan. Anyone ever written a birth plan? How did your birth go? Was it in line with your birth plan? Most people I know, it's not. So, you know, it's, you can plan all the heck you like and then something else happens and then you are the one that's suffering for it because, you know, you now just have to deliver double the amount of work. So you have first 2 weeks off so you can mentally prepare yourself for the stress that's to come, and then bam, here's two big projects. And I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to have that level of involvement. I am not interested.
Yeah. I think that, yeah, what you said about nuance and being able to like think critically about a specific situation or a specific project or a specific, you know, whatever, is really important. And I think that that's like a muscle that you have to flex and use over time. And you can be, you know, really rocking a specific type of project with a specific schedule and a specific price point, and like everything's going groovy. And then like shit hits the fan and you need to like adapt and pivot and like life changes. And I think that's something that the more you do it, the better you get at it. But it's still like, I think kind of hits you in the face every time of like, I had a plan and it's not what it's supposed to be anymore.
I know. And then you're like, oh, great. Now I gotta, I don't know, what do? Sell your kids on eBay for the next month because you ain't going to be able to see them anyways? Or do you, you know, break up with your partner because, you know, won't be seeing them anymore anyways? Like,
yeah.
You're just like, come on. Like, I had a plan. And then you're like, of course, you need to have firm boundaries. Yeah, sure. You need to have firm boundaries. That's great. But it is what it is. The stuff isn't ready. You can have the boundaries all you like.
Yeah.
I have at least a 50% deposit of this large sum of money that you sent to me in my bank account. Now you've already paid me for something.
Right.
I need to deliver the rest of it. I have that in the back of my mind as an open loop. I am not a collector of open loops. They don't serve me very well. They keep me very occupied and I don't sleep very well at night because I still have this project that's still like rotating here and this thing's on hold over here and I must also do this. I don't want any of those. And sometimes, unfortunately, there isn't very much creativity around how do you deliver this offer. You know, it's just do hourly, do packages, high price packages. And I'm like, okay, but can I do like a mix of the two? You know?
Right.
So what I do now is I like hourly. Don't get me wrong. I'm totally into it. But I don't want to be on retainer for you because then whenever you need me, I need to do. But you know, all the online businesses are on the same schedule, right? It's always launch season, quiet season, launch season, quiet. Same thing for everyone. Now, all of my clients, all of them need me to work extra time in the same week. And in the 2 weeks after that, they do not need me to work extra time.
Right.
That is literally how it goes every single time. So I have an 80-hour week followed by no fucking work, followed by an 80-hour week. Like, who plans their life like that? Or then, you know, it just doesn't work. So now I just do it all as day rates. So I'm like, yep, sure. As long as I have availability on my calendar, you can book me. If you want to book me every 2 weeks, book me every 2 weeks. If you want to book me every month, book me every month. Book me for the next 12 months, once a month for a full day. Do as you like. But once those slots on the calendar are not available, there's no work. I can't do any more. These are the times where I am working. And I can't make additional hours appear by sacrificing my life and my sanity and my sleep and my calmness for your project. And I, you know, how do you decide which client do you accept extra work and which client do you turn down? You know, how do you decide that? What is it, whoever asks first? Is it who pays you more money? Is it like, it? I don't like it. So now I'm just like, hey, I have these sessions available. You can do a 2-hour session, a 4-hour session, or a full day, depending on the size of your project. I am available for you during these times, and the rest of the time, I am not available for you because my contracted block, my hours, they've finished. So works for me, my clients suddenly get stuff ready because they have a deadline on the calendar. There's like a calendar entry with my name on it. So suddenly they are managing to get stuff ready prior to the appointment. I can actually do my work. Some of them want to come on the session because they don't get anything done. So they use it as like a, you know, co-working, finishing this project together kind of thing. Works for me. I'm perfectly cool with that. Whatever your brain needs to get it done. But I know that once those 4 hours or 8 hours are finished, this is done.
Right. Yeah, that's, it's funny. So I have a day rate booked with a designer tomorrow because we're updating like our agency website, and I'm finishing the copy this afternoon. Like, it's gonna get done, but I knew like I need to put this on the calendar. It doesn't matter when I put it on the calendar for, because the work is gonna get done 24 hours prior to this day starting. And that's something I know about myself and something that I just kind of have to accept and work with and like make sure works with me.
It's like the due date versus due date. Like, yeah. Literally, if the due date is the 15th, dude, the due date is the 15th. Like, as much as I want to convince myself that because I have this big, massive project that I'm working on, I am not working on it until I freaking have to work on it. Mm-hmm. So for me, having it on a calendar gives me the same benefit. And probably most of our clients, realistically, we attract people that are similar to us. So most of them probably are also not going to do it until the day before something is on their calendar and is a deadline that they have not got the ability to move. Because I've worked for a lot of people that are real good at moving deadlines for themselves. So they're like on my case being like, you said you would have this done by Wednesday. And then I'm like, so how's the rest of this thing? And they're like, well, I haven't started it yet. I'm like, oh, so you don't need my thing, right? Because I knew you weren't going to start it because mm-hmm. you don't like doing this. And I don't even know why you volunteered to do this in the first place, but that's a different conversation. But I know you're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. And I know you're not going to use it. And I know this thing that you want me to build is never going to see the light of day because you don't even want to sell it. Right. So I'm just not going to spend your money and my time on building this thing that I kind of know you're not going to use. So sometimes like being last minute
can be helpful, yeah.
With like a little bit of cheek, I guess.
Yeah. So I feel like our, you know, in our conversation so far, you've alluded to having a special brain. And I also have a special brain because we both have ADHD. And I have noticed, I don't know if you've picked up on this, but like over the course of our conversation, there are some ways where our like ADHD brains are merging and like we handle things the same way. And other ways where like, they're very different and we do not have the same experiences with it. So I guess I would love to know, like, talk a little bit about maybe your ADHD story and like, how did you discover it? And what impact did that realization have on your business and like how you ran it?
Yeah, I'm the typical child that, you know, it's perfectly normal, right? It's just that Jessica talks too much. And Jessica keeps distracting the other people in class. And Jessica would do so much better if she just applied herself more. Maybe she should try not losing her homework book every 2 days. So I always thought I was perfectly normal. Nobody else was concerned about anything I was doing, you know. Nobody thought it was weird that I came home from school, had to sleep for 3 hours because I was absolutely shattered, then wanted to go out with my friends, then would still go to bed at 10 p.m., set an alarm for 2 a.m. to do homework. Talk about last minute, to do homework from 2 a.m. to a maximum of 4:30 a.m. so I would get another full sleep cycle in after that until 6. Who does that? Like, who's normal and does that? Like, I've never met anyone else that does, you know, weird stuff like that. So, but I didn't think there was any issue. I had only figured out when I started asking myself, why the heck is everything just so difficult? Like, why can I not? Like, I want to do this thing. I'm looking at the thing. It's right here in front of me. Here's the thing, and I want to do it. I can't bring myself to start it. It's not like I'm having a nice time. It's not like I'm on the sofa playing video games. I'm sitting in front of my laptop with the thing open and I'm looking at it. And something about it is irritating me. And I just can't even get started until literally the dumpster's on fire and I'm having to do it, or else I have to explain someone else that I yet again didn't do something. And I don't know. It's the whole thing where everyone always says, you have to be consistent if you ever want to make it anywhere. You have to do things this way. Basically, you just have to be who I'm not if you want anything to work in your life. And that's like, that is super frustrating. And I've heard nothing my entire life. And it really, like, it irritates you, even if you're not aware of it, even if you think it's not affecting you, it does. Like, people are not trying not to do it. Like, it's almost a pain that you can't do it. You get so angry with yourself because you're like, why can I not just do this damn thing? Like, these glasses are over there for like 5 days. I should really go and wash them. I don't have the energy.
I saw a TikTok the other day, which, like, a lot of people have a lot of thoughts about, like, mental health on TikTok. But it was just like one of those super fast ones that was like, hey, just a friendly reminder. If you were being lazy, you would be having fun. And I was like, oh, I'm not having fun. Like,
no, I'm not. I'm torturing myself internally. Like, I'm having like the nastiest conversation that you wouldn't anyone ever want to hear. Mm-hmm. But that is what's happening. And I'm not having fun. Having fun looks like doing things you actually want to be doing. I am just in this limbo state between me and the thing that I can't bring myself to start. So yeah, it's that kind of stuff. Or the little things, like getting a message from like a client who's like, hey, can I chat to you on Zoom later? Wouldn't you love to get that message? So at this point, by the time 3 p.m. comes around and we're going to be on Zoom to be chatting, I'm assuming that like the world is ending.
Yeah.
Like everyone has died. Like, you know, this is like apocalyptic kind of thing that you're going to tell me now. And then you're like, so by the way, as a next project, I thought we could do that. And I'm like, oh, that's it? Like, I've spent the last 8 hours worried about why the heck would you want to talk to me on Zoom without giving me any context. I'm assuming that you're going to tell me I'm like the worst person you've ever worked with. You would like a refund of all the money you've ever paid me in the entire 5 years that you've been working with me. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just not a logical thought. It's taken me 6 years to be able to ask someone for feedback if they've bought a product from me.
Mm-hmm.
And to be okay with whatever the heck they say.
Yeah. Something I've learned about myself recently is, like, I don't ask questions because I just like figuring stuff out. So if, like, there's something going on, I don't know the answer, I'll be like, okay, I'll figure it out. And so when I get questions, like if a client asks me a question or a team member asks me a question, I'm like, oh, they're mad. Like, they're so mad that I didn't explain this already that, like, they're asking me a question because it takes me so long to get to a point where I would actually ask a question. Like, even stuff like, oh, can you give me access to this, like, website so that I can, you know, get back-end code? I'm sitting here Googling, like, can you get the API from blah, 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 from, like, you know, inspecting a website. Like, I'll do everything I can to avoid asking a question. And so then if, like, the simplest question gets asked of me, I'm like, they hate me. They hate me. They hate me and my business is garbage and I'm gonna have to go work at a grocery store.
And before you know it, here's the apocalypse. I swear, like, doesn't take more than seven ants before the world's looking really bad.
But the wildest thing is, you couldn't pay me all the money in the world to do anything else. Like, all this stuff that makes me feel like the world's ending all the time. All of these, like, questions that I'm getting asked that are, like, totally valid questions that are, like, sending me into this, like, spiral of stress. You couldn't pay me to, like, give that up to go, like, get a normal job.
No, because there'll be people asking questions all day, every day, and nobody's ever figuring out anything. And it's worse. I know, it's worse. I have another different reaction to that, but that's also down to the fact that when I was little, I had to figure out everything by myself. Like, I didn't have the kind of support in the house where somebody would be like, ooty dooty dooty, like, here, put cream, let me do your hair. Like, that was not my growing up experience. It was very much like, well, if you're hungry, you know where the food is. You know, go get yourself that. And yeah, sure, we did have a cooked lunch or whatnot, but in the evenings, whatever. Or I had to make my own sandwich to take to school. Like, I was getting up by myself in the mornings. I was making my own sandwich, even at, like, I don't know, 7 years old, and then going off to school. And I realize now that that might have not been the best experience and the best role modeling and whatnot, but I am very stubbornly independent. And I also, like, I have this thing where I will also do anything, and I don't know why, to just figure it out. Like, I've done some email service provider migrations where clients are, like, very concerned because, well, I don't think anyone but me could figure out how this works. And I'm like, you have no idea. Like, I will probably tell you things about your account in about 2 hours that even you didn't know because you didn't set that up. But I just go in there and I'm like, this here, this there, this sends it here. What's this? Oh, this is gonna, oh, where does this come from? Okay. And then I'm like, okay, can I have your login also for this, 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 and this? Because I think going by the name, these things are coming from other places. So can I go check it, please? And then they're like, oh, okay. And then I'm like, okay, here's what's happening right now. Here's what I think should happen instead. So are we ready to get going with that? And I don't know. And then I have the flip reaction when somebody asks me something and I have to really, like, keep that down. I always want to say, well, couldn't you have gone to figure that out by yourself?
Right.
Like, I have this little spark of, like, I want to jump someone. And then I'm like, no, not everybody has this obsessive need to not bother anyone and to, like, never ask a question and to stubbornly figure it out for 2 hours. Other people just ask.
Yes, like, and I remember distinctly, like, one of my last straws of, like, working with clients where it would be, like, sending them, like, a link to preview something that was, like, scheduled to go out or whatever, and they would be like, I unscheduled it because you linked to this thing, and I think you should link to this thing instead. And I'm like, you were logged in. Like, you could have done that. And, like, figuring out, like, when I'm supposed to keep that to myself and when I'm supposed to, like, actually say something has been a really interesting growing process of, like, now that I'm growing my business and I have team people working for me, it's like, okay, when do I approve things and when do I make changes and when do I ask for changes? Like, how do I find that line? Because I don't agree with the way that, like, other people have done it in the past, but I can also recognize that, like, there is a sense of, like, control freakiness inside of me.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I think it's an outcome. I like to be outcome-oriented. Mm-hmm. Outcome and intention are two things that are, like, important to me. So if the outcome was that we're going to send an email and there's going to be sales, and then the person makes a mistake and writes, hi, first name, which I basically still regularly do. You'll regularly, if you're on my, come on my email list, if you want to get emails where it says in the subject line as well, hey, first name, how's it going? You know,
messing up merge tags is just like a rite of passage.
It is just, like, I have to say, MailerLite is actually a bit annoying with inserting those merge tags. Like, it will regularly put it on a second line or whatever. Like, there's always some kind of a headache with them things. It's super clunky and I don't like it. So I need to remember to actually copy it out you know, whatever. So these things happen. But at the end of the day, the outcome was people need to open the email. Somebody's going to buy something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, actually, who doesn't like to open an email that had blah, 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 first name in the subject line? You'll actually find a freaking higher open rate on those kind of emails if you don't do it all the time.
Yeah.
Just because people are like, ho, 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 blooper, you know, and then they'll go open the email. And the result was that people bought something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nobody on your team is doing this with intention. Nobody sits there and thinks, oh, I'm going to send an email today that says hi, first name, or that has so-and-so first name in the subject line. No one is intentionally doing that. Sometimes it just happens. But the end result was the email went out. The open rate was higher than usual. People bought. You seem like a human at the end of the day. No, nothing happening. Like, this is the whole world. It's all made up. We're playing business here. It's all made up. It doesn't matter. You know, it's made up. So I don't know. If the outcome's there, the intention wasn't bad, I tend to let it go.
Yeah. That's a good outlook.
Yeah, like, I mean, look, there's so many things. If you want to get upset about stuff, there are so many things to get upset over. Like, I could write a list right now and just be like, well, I'm upset over this. But I don't need the additional stress. And I don't think, like, I don't care about meetings with the people that I work with. I don't care about where they work, when they work. I don't have any control over working hours. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
What I care is that the thing's done when it needs to be done and the outcome and the result is where it needs to be. And if that starts dying down, then I'm going to be like, hey, are you all right?
Yeah.
Like, are you not vibing with doing this anymore? Like, is there anything else that you'd rather be doing instead? But I'm not going to sit there and be like, I request that, you know, you come on Zoom every day and share with me your list of things that you're going to get accomplished today. I'll forget to turn up on Zoom to check your work list. Realistically, I'm not going to do it. I can hardly control myself, never mind going into other people's stuff as well.
Right. Like, there's so much to like worry about and manage. We don't need to add like nonsense micromanagement to the list.
I can't. Not a micromanager. Like, and I really don't like it in return, because at the end of the day, I'm working with good intention. And if the outcome is there,
yeah,
I sort of apply the same thing in reverse. It's just a lot of people don't.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I do a lot of, I know the whole thing of like, hey, we have not so much energy. Do we have to do discovery calls, sales calls, whatever you want to call them? Do we have to do them? Like, can we not just sell in the DMs? I'm not sure what you do, but I want to rename, I rename them a little bit in some places to like a vibe check.
That's what call. Mine are, yeah.
I want to rename it to a weirdo check call or a psycho check call. I'm like literally at that point where, I don't know, I just want to work with people that understand or at least don't care enough to make your life like living hell in the process of trying to get something done.
Yeah, it's about the outcome, not whatever like bullshit sort of like rules we've decided you need to abide by in order to have like a successful business.
That's called getting a job, by the way. If you want to follow bullshit rules,
yeah,
you get a job if you like that. I didn't, which was the reason why I left. So I'm like, I don't really want to keep putting myself into the situation that I effectively worked out of.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm voluntarily going, yeah, I'm gonna work with you because I have to send you my thingy by this time every single day, or get on a morning meeting every day, or quickly jump on Zoom whenever you like, or yeah, whatever. It's just stuff I just don't want to do it when I have a low energy day and I have a freaking headache, and then you're going, can you quickly come on Zoom?
Yeah. And if you're a client who wants that kind of relationship, then cool, you should hire an employee. Like,
yes,
that's the point.
Yes. Yes. 100%. That's something, that's a whole different story anyways.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of people should be looking at just hire an employee. Like the complaint, like, oh, pricing. if you want to spend X amount per hour for this person, and it's like $30 an hour, you need to hire an employee. And you need to pay them insurance, and you need to pay them their health package, and you need to pay them whatever you pay them in the US, or, you know, every country is a little bit different. But you need to be paying that chisel for people, because you're paying them an hourly rate that, I'm sorry, but these days,
yeah,
that doesn't buy you very much anymore. And now, like, you have a freelancer, and I'm the kind of person where if we need to get something done and I need to get some expertise in that I don't have, I will find it.
Yeah.
But I need to be charging you appropriately, because I also need to do marketing, and I also need to do sales and whatever. Like, I have other activities that I need to do to run a business and to keep it legal and to do my invoices and whatnot. And yeah, the cost is higher, but I thought it was logical, because you're not paying me any health insurance. You're not paying me any holidays. You're not paying me any anything.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you have low hourly rate expectations, employee territory.
Yes, this is a pro-employee podcast. I would love, like, not that I would love to be replaced, but, like, it's kind of my dream when, like, clients are done working with us because they need a full-time marketing employee. And it's like, yes, that's the point. Like, that's where we want your business to get to.
100%. I am pro team members growing and moving on and taking more responsible position. Like, I don't know. I don't want to be doing the same thing forever. Right. So I am growing. Other people grow. Their businesses grow. Like, I am pro any kind of development. Mm-hmm. And if you're at the point where you're hiring people that are, like, permanently committed to you, that's awesome, you know?
Yeah. I feel like that is an amazing note to end on. So my final question for you is, I counted, like, over a dozen different offers on your everything page. So I would love to know if you have maybe a favorite, like, free offer that we can link in our show notes, and then maybe, like, what your favorite paid offer is right now.
Yeah,
sure. Because I'm sure it always changes.
I mean, if you're at the point where stuff is kind of in the dumpster fire range, like, oh, problem here, oh, Tuesday, problem here, oh, Wednesday, we have a problem over there instead. I have a free course that I am, you know, adding to as I'm going in true ADHD fashion. But it's about using Notion specifically for business owners, because that's a tool that saved my butt, like, plenty of times, because of the level of flexibility, and especially because of how my brain works. It works really well, but I know loads of people are overwhelmed because it's like blank page, all the possibilities, what the heck do I do and where do I start? Mm-hmm. So I have that, and that's been, you know, pretty popular for some reason. So yeah, that's a free thing you can sign up for, bite-sized lessons, you know, we'll go through it. There's a few practice projects in there, and I'm adding more, and I'm adding actual use cases as to how I use Notion and how I've set things up for other people to work. So this is gonna, you know, keep going over time. Favorite paid thing, day rates, get it done. Like, I compared it the other day. I was wearing a new pair of socks, and you know when the thread keeps, like, annoyingly rubbing on your toe the whole freaking day, and you have to, like, put up with it. Loads of people have got business socks. Like, they've got something that they're not doing, not tackling, which is probably like a 1 to 2 hour fix.
Right.
And they're putting it off for, like, years and years, and every day they're walking with the itchy thread or the label in the back of the t-shirt that's, like, you know, irritating you. Mm-hmm. Like, fix it. It's going to be faster, cheaper than you think it is. And if you can't do it, that is why you have people who do this all the time, because we can set this up, you know, in a couple of hours. So yeah, book day rates, get it done. Like, you're not roped into a retainer, whatever. I'm not going to keep annoying you. But whenever you need something done, book it, get it fixed.
Amazing. I love that. Jess, thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you so much for joining me today, listeners. Thank you for tuning in. And we will be back next week for another episode of Messy in the Middle. Bye.